Amanda and Amy, and the Lord's just been working. The Lord's just been working for a long time, and it's beautiful. And they were telling me about it, and I got to pray with her the other night, and just hearing her talk, I just said, man, this is such a picture of God's handiwork of salvation. I've got to use this. I've got to explain this without embarrassing her as much as I can, and without stealing the story, because it's her story and she knows the details better than anyone. So I will try and use some bigger points of that story without going into all the detail. So the week began this way last Sunday, right? So we had our picnic, and there were three people, potential people, scheduled to be baptized last Sunday. And for various reasons, and they're all good reasons, they couldn't. You know, Molly broke her foot, you know. And I mean, it just didn't happen, and it may happen again. I mean, I'm hopeful and I'm anticipating that we will get to baptize those people. So it wasn't anything bad. It was all good. And I thought, when I began the service, I thought, well, we're just going to have a picnic today. But after the service, Landon came up to me and said, hey, Grandpa, can I get baptized today? And I said, why do you want to be baptized, Landon? And he said, well, in our family devotions in the Keys for Kids, I gave my life to Jesus, and I want to be baptized. And I said, can you tell them that? I think it's real important that we express that. I said, can you tell them that at the picnic? If I have you come up, can you tell them just what you told me? And he said, yeah. And then a little bit later, Amy come up to me and she said, hey, Dad, can I get baptized today? And I said, well, you've been saved and baptized, I think, right? And she's like, you know, I did get saved when I was younger. And then I kind of, in her words, she used it at the picnic, I went off and kind of lived life my way, and now I'm back, and I just want to make that public statement that, man, I am the Lord's, you know. And I said, can you tell them that? And she did, beautifully. Monday, Janet, I get a call or text that says Janet got saved. Who's going to cry, me or you? and I'm like you. And I go, what? And she goes, yeah, she got saved. And this is what I know from being around Janet. She used to say things like, I guess I knew God all my life. I've kind of known God all my life. And now she said, I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. And so you ask her about her testimony, but she prayed and got saved. And so the week went through, we got to pray with her Friday, and just hearing her pray, there's life in her prayers. It's insane. So we have more people we're praying for. And I want to draw out, I want to take the big picture of Janet's story and of many of your stories. It's really a picture of Amy's story, picture of Landon's story. It's salvation as the Bible describes it, and I want to show you really what happened, okay? And I'm going to use the whiteboard even a little bit today. Mark will have scripture references. I won't use a lot of them, but basically it'll be some of these. And I would key off of this phrase. Some of the pushback you get when you talk about praying this prayer of salvation, sometimes you get this pushback, right? Oh, you just pray a prayer and you get saved. That's it. You just pray a prayer and then Just do what you want and you get saved. Just pray a prayer. Because that is what she did. And if I heard the story right, she confessed her sin, needing forgiveness, needing her Savior, asking Him to be her Savior, to come into her heart. So she did pray a prayer and got saved, no doubt. But what really happened was there was a long history leading up to that prayer. A long history. And she's the only one that can fill in this blank. And it's a long history of God calling. Of God initiating. See, she was dead in trespasses and sins. She was dead man laying there. And so our Bible talks about God calling a person. God initiating a person. God giving a person mercy when they were dead in their trespasses and sins. God begins to speak to this dead person. Happened to Janet. Happened to Amy. Happened to me. Happened to Landon. Happened to everybody. Some people's history is a lot shorter than others. It's not all very long. But God calls, initiates, begins to speak into a person's life. And for her, it was a journey in a conservative church like ours for a while. She's read up and explored some other religions, if I understand correctly. There's trying to just be a good person in there. But this is all a history of God working. That's all God's work, leading her to this prayer where she got saved. And what she did, her faith, she believed, she trusted, she surrendered. See, she had, in this history, she had some Bible, certainly had some church, ladies' Bible study, friends, family, I mean, all the church stuff, right? She sang last Sunday, baptism, she was baptized. All the church stuff was in here, and she wasn't saved. And she prayed this prayer of surrender and got saved. And so now, she has eternal life, and she's living now. We don't know how long she's going to live, and then someday she's going to die and just keep right on going. Because so she has eternal life right now. But she surrendered, is really what she did. The voice was there. The calling was there. The thing in her heart was speaking. She was trying all kinds of things. Still hurting, still broken. She said she carried a lot of baggage, a lot of guilt, whatever. You'll have to ask her about that. But she carried a lot of stuff, needing forgiveness. And she surrendered. She gave it all. She knew about the cross. She knew about the cross. And there's the resurrection. The new life. Born again. We talked about that. Born again. Janet has been born again. That's new life. Born again. There's no way around. Born again is new life. She's gonna bear new life here in a short time, right? No question, born again means you have a whole new life. That's Jesus taught that. They didn't get it. Nicodemus didn't get it. You must be born again. What's that mean? This will make sense to you, I think, maybe. The other person, the other side of this, the person who is living a good life, wanting to be saved someday, hoping God saves them. When judgment day comes, there's a person here working to please God. And they're hoping that when they die, that God, well, in essence, that God surrenders to their good life, to their pleasing life. So they're working. And you got to admit this, that if that's how it is, if you are living a life hoping to please God someday, I mean, there's got to be a line. There's got to be a line somewhere. I mean, this pleases God. You've crossed the line now to this pleases God, or you didn't quite make it to the line. You know, you're better than other people, or you're not doing better than other people, or you finally crossed the line. You're better than most people, so God is pleased with you. Yes, come on up here. I mean, at some point, think about it. There has to be a rational line to cross that pleases God. Not pleasing to God, okay, I crossed the line. Pleasing to God, there's a line. And at some point, because you lived life good enough, in essence, you crossed the line. God has to save you now because He has to surrender to your good life. He wouldn't be just. He wouldn't be righteous. He wouldn't be fair if He didn't. He has no other choice as a just and righteous and good God but now to say, you've crossed the line, okay, come on in. He surrenders to the line. That's what this person is doing. They are working, this person is working, living a good life as they can. Someday God will surrender to all their good living. He has to. I mean, it's not rational if He doesn't. So there's a big difference here, right? This is all God. This is all God bringing us to this point right here. This is all the person. And God, once you cross that line, God surrenders to your good life. So let me read a scripture, see if this plugs in and fits in any way. Praying a prayer and getting saved. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. There's the prayer. There's the vocalization. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So there's our prayer. Listen to this. Now this is God doing all the work. And you tell me how this could ever fit into this. This will fit it perfectly, but this one won't. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, our bodies, carrying out the desires of our bodies, our mind, and we were by nature children of wrath. That's who we all were. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loves us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Which one fits that better? God is going to take things in Janet's life and use them to be a minister in her new life. This is by grace you have been saved. This was God's hand shaping, moving, nudging, talking, speaking all along the way. By grace you have been saved. She learned the cross and the resurrection, and the two are inseparable. By grace you have, rich in mercy, rich in love, he calls us to the point of, I'm a sinner. He sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. I didn't. He did. He gives us new life. When we pray this prayer of faith and surrender, he sends his Holy Spirit into us. I don't do that. I don't go to Walmart and buy it. He sends the Holy Spirit into us, and we are born again, a whole new person, and we live the resurrection side of the cross as a whole new person. And you say, so you can do whatever you want at that time. And Matt and I were just discussing this verse this morning in 1 John. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed, the Holy Spirit, abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he was born of God. Right here, born of God, Holy Spirit, God's seed comes into him. Jesus comes into him in the form of the Holy Spirit, and he cannot practice sinning. Do we sin? Absolutely. Do we practice, live in it? Absolutely not. We can not. Because his seed comes in, and that's the only way we live the resurrection side of the cross as a whole new person. We will never, never, never get there this way. And there's plenty of New Testament scripture to tell us no one is ever saved by living a good enough life. That's our doing, our religion, our creating it. That is not God's salvation. It is not the biblical salvation. That is. Let me continue that Romans passage. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, Master, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Why didn't he say the cross? Why didn't he say believe in the cross? Why did he say confess Jesus as the Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead? Why did he say that? Because they knew they were sinners. We all do. We all know. Everybody knows they sin. The Bible says he speaks it right into our heart. We all know we're sinners. Do you know what we don't like? I don't really want a Lord. I want to be Lord. I don't really want a master. I just want the cross. I just want forgiveness. I know I'm a sinner. Man, I want forgiven. Okay, great. But I don't need a Lord. And so you have to have both. Confess him as Lord and believe in your heart. God raised him from the dead. And he's going to raise you from the dead too. And you can't just take the cross without the surrender to the resurrection. You see, the gospel is that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. That's the gospel that we have to believe. There's a new life. There's a whole new you. There's a Lord involved here that rose from the dead. And he's going to send his spirit into you, and you can't do the things your body cries out to do. Does he really do that? How then will they call on him in whom they've never believed? How are they to believe in him if they've never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching the gospel to them? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Somebody has to speak the gospel. Somebody has to speak the word of God. Somebody, to be saved, you have to hear, know, and understand the whole gospel, the cross and the resurrection, the forgiveness and the Lord. It's not just, I need to get forgiven. You need to get forgiven and made all new. Surrender your life to the Lord. Confess Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. Read the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15. Death, burial, resurrection. He's the Lord. He is the Lord. But I ask, has Israel not heard? Indeed they have. But I ask, did Israel not understand this? And he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. And so too at this present day there is a remnant of Israel chosen by grace. And if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. Why does Israel not accept Jesus? They don't obey the gospel. All day long, he says just this right here. All day long, I have held out my hand to a disobedient and contrary people, and they say, no, thank you. Did they know Jesus was crucified? Yes. Did they want a Lord and a resurrection? No. They are Lord of their life. See, it is real easy for us to say the cross. I guess I've believed in Jesus all my life. She knew exactly she was a sinner, and she knew exactly Jesus died on the cross. She wasn't saved. And she surrendered. She gave her life and asked him to come in to the Lord and the resurrected, the living Savior. She said, okay, here I am. Take me. Take me. Huge difference. See, if I don't take the resurrection side of the gospel, I get to be forgiven and be Lord of my life. I get to pick and choose what I want to do as a believer. I don't have a Lord, and I don't have salvation either. That's what everybody wants right there. Everybody wants forgiveness. Nobody wants a Lord. Everybody wants to be the Lord of their life. And so God has to work to get us to accept him as the resurrected Lord. If I just want forgiveness, I get to say, I believe in Jesus, I go to church. But I get to live life how I want. I don't even have to read this thing if I don't want to, because I'm forgiven, right? Isn't that what it says? I'm forgiven. So I don't have to read that. And if there's parts of that I don't really like, I don't have to do it. Because I'm the Lord of my life yet. It doesn't bother me. There's no Holy Spirit in there that keeps pushing and pushing and messing with me all the time, making me feel bad when that guy preaches. I'm not going to that church. That guy makes me feel funny. He wants to talk that Bible stuff, and that makes me feel funny, and I don't want to feel funny. I want the cross, but I don't want that. I want to control my life and pick and choose. Did you ever ask yourself, you know that passage in the Gospels when Jesus is talking to them and he's separating the sheep and the goats and all that, and they come to him and they go, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name and didn't we prophesy in your name? And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you, for the one who does the will of the Father. Well, you say to yourself, casting out demons and prophesying in your name, isn't that the will of the Father? No, not necessarily. Not if that's not his will for you. His will is here. His will is the Spirit in us, teaching, guiding, leading us. It's the person who surrenders to the will of the Father. Not stops at the cross and says, that's good, that's all I want. I'll take it from here. It's the person who does the will of the Father. You ever ask yourself, think about King David and King Saul. King Saul, king of Israel, chosen by the people. He sinned and God sent him packing. Get him out of here. I've rejected him. King David, chosen by God, sleeps with Bathsheba, and God forgives him. Nathan comes and confronts him, and God forgives him. What's the difference? One has surrendered to the Lord, and one hasn't. Oh, it's not that Saul didn't go to the temple sacrifice. He did. Read it. Read it. He did all the religious church things. He didn't surrender to God. It wasn't his God, his Lord. He was super religious. He forgave one, rejected the other one. And we go, you see, God doesn't just want to give you an insurance policy. He wants to give you a whole new life, born again. He wants you just to surrender right here. He's bringing you along. He's doing it all. The hurts, the pains, the joys, the teachings, the wanderings, the different journey we go through, everything we go through, it's his love and his mercy because we're dead in our trespasses and sins. Right to here, and all he wants is take me, forgive me, make me new, send your spirit, come into my heart. I need the resurrection side of the cross. I need a Lord. I need a Savior. I need guidance. I don't know that I can stop sinning, so I need you to come in so I can't. I need to be, Jesus' very own words, you must be born again. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, that's what Janet did. She prayed a prayer and received Christ Jesus the Lord. So live in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your body, of your life. God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses, canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. He set it aside, nailing it to the cross, disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to an open shame. If with Christ you died to the elementary spirits and principles of this world, why, as if you are still alive in the world, do you submit to them? And if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. Set your hearts on things above, not things of this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with him. You died. You died to your lordship. You died to yourself. And that is the part nobody wants to do. And it is every bit a part of the gospel. It is every bit necessary for a person to be saved. That is why we baptize people under the water and bring them up again. And if it was just about you believing the story of Jesus and being forgiven, we would hold you under the water and not let you back up. Because that's all you got. But the truth is, Jesus paid it all. God has done it all to bring you to a point to surrender it all to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, and then you will be saved. Is that a free ticket to sin? Do whatever I want? No, I can't. I cannot, because his Spirit lives in me. Will I still sin? Yes. If I say I don't, I'm a liar. I do. But I won't practice it. I won't live in it. I can't. And you know what? God gets all the glory. Every single drop of the glory. And he's the one that deserves it. He has done it all. Every bit. Let's take communion. John, you want to pass these out for me or help me? COVID communion. That's salvation right there. That's the best I can describe it to you. How a lady brought up early on in her life in a church, later checked out all kinds of other things, carrying guilt and mistakes and sins, comes to Cornerstone, her husband gets saved. Begins to sing in the praise team, go to ladies' Bible study, serve in other ways, and comes to a point to say, I know about him, but I don't know him. I don't have him. And surrenders her life and becomes a whole new person. Has the Lord of her life. As Jesus comes into her, gets a circumcision made without hands. And what's it mean? Cutting away the flesh, circumcising the flesh, circumcising my body. What's that mean? Circumcising that sinful flesh? It means just what 1 John said. You cannot practice sin anymore. You cannot, because your flesh, your body, its desires have been circumcised with Christ. You'll sin, but you won't live in it. You won't continue. You won't practice it. Show me somebody practicing just living sin day in and day out. I'll show you somebody that's not saved based on the scripture in 1 John. You can't. You can't. Because your flesh has been circumcised. Not removed entirely. Circumcised. You're not a child of God if you do. So will she still sin? Sorry. Yeah. But she's got something in her. And she's got a Lord that will just keep right on shaping and working now into the image of Christ, taking all these things prepared, works prepared beforehand, even some before the foundation of the world, works prepared for her now. God will use all that, turn all them lemons into lemonade. She'll be a fruit-bearing machine with her husband, Ted, their new saved family. It's amazing. We'll be patient with them, and we will help build each other up. We will build each other up in the Word of God. We will encourage and show mercy and patience and build each other up as we're born again. We'll peel back that top to that wonderful little wafer in there. Jesus paid it all with his body. Stripes, the bruises, the spear in the side, the nails through the hands and the feet. Every single bit of our sin was paid for by him. But do you know what else he did in the body? He rose from the grave in his body. And they wanted to touch him right at first. And he said, "You can't touch me yet." But then he came back and he said, "Thomas, you doubt? Put your hands right here. Stick your finger in that hole in my hand. If you believe." Because he was resurrected with a body, with his body. He walked with them on the Emmaus Road because he was resurrected to live in a body. And he did. And so are we. So are we. We must be born again to live in a body now filled with Jesus. Forgiven and filled with Jesus. And it's a whole new me. Let's eat that body. Try and peel that back without throwing it all over the front of you like I could do. This is the blood that was shed for us. And it tells us, beginning clear back in Leviticus, that the life is in the blood. And so Jesus' blood had to be shed because in his blood is life, and the life had to be given for our sinful life. So our past of dead living, of death, the only payment for this dead body was the body of Jesus Christ. The life of Jesus Christ was given for my dead life. And now I get a new life. Because it's all about life. And it's called eternal life. The life is in the blood. The life is in Christ. The Spirit of Christ comes into me and you. It's the life of Christ that comes into me and you, and we have eternal life. He was the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn. He poured out his earthly blood here and was resurrected. The firstborn from the dead. He ascended into heaven, eternal life, where he now lives. And when he comes in, when that life comes into you, you have eternal life, his life, the Lord's life in you. Until that happens, you're not his. Romans says if the Spirit doesn't live in you, you are not God's. Because it's that eternal life that comes into you. It's the life of Christ. It was poured out for my sins. And he took on new life. And now I have it in me. I could never, ever, ever, ever have eternal life with my blood and my life and my body flowing through my veins. I have to have his eternal life come into me through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. That's how I have eternal life. That's a beautiful picture of salvation right there. Everybody's story is different here, but it's all the same. Landon's history is not Janet's history. And Amy's history is not Janet's history or mine. It's all different. Some are short, some are long, some are very high and low, some are not. But it's all the same. It's all God. It's all God calling and initiating and loving and showing mercy and grace and all God just kind of nudging us to this right here, this surrender at the cross and resurrection called the gospel. The payment of our sins and the new life with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ living in us. Life in Christ. That's the gospel according to the Bible. That's how the Bible describes salvation. It's either God or it's you. And by works of the flesh, no man will ever be saved. Romans 3, 9, and 10. We've all sinned. Read Romans 3 if you don't believe me. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy He saved us. Titus. For by grace you've been saved. Through faith. It's not of yourself. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works. But no one can boast. It's very plain, isn't it? Very simple. That is salvation. That is the gospel. I hope you've all received it. I'm going to ask the praise team to come forward and sing and celebrate. Jesus had recently been crucified and Peter had just done a miracle and he said, I did this in Jesus' name. You know that guy you crucified a couple months ago? And they were beside themselves. They said, what do we have to do? What should we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Turn from your thinking. Turn from your lordship. And be baptized. Die and rise again. Have new life in you. And even you that killed Jesus Christ, that cried out at the top of your voice, crucify him, even you. Even you will be saved. That's the good news of the gospel. Even me and you. Our sin crucified the Lord. And even us will be saved if we turn to Him. Turn to the cross and the resurrection. Ask Him to be your Lord, to come in, bring eternal life, bring a new you, be born again. He says, whoever comes to me, I will in no way ever cast out. I'll never turn you away. Say, yeah, sorry, you've been too bad. It's been too long. I've tried too many times. No, it's too late for you. He says, I will never, ever, ever turn somebody away who comes to me in a surrender, in a full surrender to my Lord in my life. That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. Even you who hung the Lord on the cross, you can repent and be baptized and be saved. That's mercy. That's mercy and grace. I'm not even going to give an invitation. I probably should, right? Probably should. I'm going to ask them to sing that one more time. I want it to soak into our hearts is what I really want, this salvation, this gospel. I want it to soak in the beauty of what God has done in love to reach out all day long. I've been reaching out my hand. Maybe that's you all day long. The last 10 years, the last 5 years, the last 20 years, God has been reaching out His hand to you to say, come and surrender to me. Give yourself to me. I'll come in. I'll forgive you. And I'll make you brand new. He's been reaching out His hand to you. And you know it. You've wanted the cross, but not the surrender. Maybe today's your day. I mean, you do business with Him. I'm right here. I'll be right here. If you need help, want somebody to pray with you, come pray with me. Come up. Tap me on the shoulder. I'm all yours. I'm all yours. But I believe enough in the living Savior and the power of the Holy Spirit that as He reaches out His hand, even today, even now, He is reaching out His hand to some of us. And you already know it. You just need to bow your head and say, Lord, take my life. I'm done. I'm done being Lord. I'm done trying to earn it to be good enough. Hoping I cross that line. Never happened. Never happened. Ask Him to be your Savior. Ask Him to come in. Receive Him. Receive Him. Receive eternal life. Even now.